Henderson is back tonight, and the title of his speech tonight, which is really a speech because it's formal, it's full of material. It's not just off-the-cuff ramblings. This is a major presentation, is Empire of Lies. And I wonder, I'm looking forward to this because I'm wondering if he's thinking about Kiev, Ukraine, and NATO, or the White House, or all of the above. What is it, Sir Mitchell?
Okay, well, tonight I can really only cover two of the lies, okay?
Right.
Because the lies are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cover two lies, then I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world. So the world is polarizing into two camps, the Five Eyes, which is the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, leading the West, including the European Union, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, and the non-Western world. Each day, the division has become starker. The U.S. drives nations away. The rest of the world looks at the USA and sees an evil empire of lies. They even call it the Empire of Lies. So that's where the title comes from. The United States is the Empire of Lies.
Got it.
For example, talk of satanic Zionism is much suppressed in the West. You can always tell who your oppressor is by determining who you cannot criticize. If you use the term Zionism in a critical context, you are branded a Nazi and canceled from participation in Western culture. Yet, modern Zionism started a century before National Socialism took power. There is no need to link anti-Zionism with National Socialism. Zionism is not a creation of National Socialist ideology, as they would have you believe, but was began by Moses Hess in his 1832 book, The Holy History of Mankind, and organized by Theodore Herzl in 1897 as political Zionism. Hitler was only 8 years old at the time. I don't think he was thinking that much about politics at 8 years old. Okay. Zionism is not about a Jewish state called Israel. It is an atheistic, humanist, and satanic perversion of Judaism. Humanism is Satanism. As a professor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem put it, Zionism is Judaism without God. Man is the God of Zionism, and it seeks to rule the world, not just Israel. Within Israel, 65% of the population is atheist. They're not even Jewish. They're atheists. Okay, Haaretz, Israel's Zionist newspaper, stated that, quote, atheism is deeply entrenched in Israeli society. Israel's other major newspaper, the Jerusalem Post, is Israeli nationalist. You can read the difference on any given day, and the difference is often stark. So let us look at why we are called the Empire of Lies, and we're going to start with medical lies. Let's start with the lies that affect everyone personally first. The greatest advance in modern medicine was made in 1857 by Dr. Semmelweis in a hospital in Vienna, Austria. He noticed that when babies were born at home with a midwife, the infant mortality and maternal mortality was low, but in the hospital it was extremely high. So he experimented and started having the staff at the hospital wash their hands with carbolic acid between patients. The reduction in infant and maternal mortality was greatly reduced. This started a medical drive for public hygiene. Things like clean water, sewage systems, and personal hygiene decreased human mortality and morbidity drastically. We're talking about an 80% drop, okay? The world population began to grow rapidly, and life expectancy increased. They went further by improving waste disposal and pest eradication to distance humans from disease vectors. Because of the medical hygiene, the American Civil War had less men dying from surgery for the first time in history. There was lots of amputees that survived the wars. That just didn't happen before. They needed morphine for pain, resulting in the first real narcotics addiction epidemic in America. They needed a new drug to get our Civil War heroes off morphine. Acetylmorphine was invented to make a stronger narcotic that could be used to wean our war heroes off of morphine. The name given to acetylmorphine was heroin because it was the hero's drug. Okay, a lot of people were unaware of that.
That's fascinating. No, I didn't know that. That's remarkable.
So people became addicted to heroin, so methadone was invented. Methadone withdrawal is harsher than heroin withdrawal, lasting 2 weeks instead of 3 days. The important thing about methadone is that it gives medical professionals more personal control over an individual. If they want the methadone, they must obey. Now methadone is being replaced by Suboxone. There will be a substitute for Suboxone as soon as something more profitable and something that engenders more obedience is created. The question here is whether all of these efforts have helped solve the problem or made it worse. After the Civil War, morphine and cocaine, as well as marijuana, was legal and could be bought over the counter. A solution to the relatively minor narcotics issue was the Harrison Narcotics Act of 1914. It imposed such high taxes on opiates, cocaine, and marijuana as to make it too expensive for people to pay for. The demand increased and organized smuggling of opiates developed in order to sell opiates to those who wanted them cheaper than the legal market could provide. A family that took advantage of this was the Delano family. Mrs. Delano married Mr. Roosevelt, and with opium smuggling wealth, put the first American dictator, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, into the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholism was a bigger scourge on society, and narcotics addiction was relatively trivial at the time. In 1920, Prohibition went into effect to stop the scourge of alcoholism. Prohibition created vast wealth for entrepreneurs who smuggled liquor into the U.S., like Joseph Kennedy, who got rich enough that he could put his son, John F. Kennedy, into the presidency. Opium gave Chinese organized crime, the triads or Chinese merchant societies, a solid foothold in America. Alcohol became the province of Italian organized crimes, solidly embedded in our society. Prohibition is the fertilizer that organized crime grows in. After Prohibition ended, because it created more alcoholism, not less, but opium prohibition was not stopped because of the American Medical Association became the organized crime in control of narcotics. After Prohibition was repealed, other organized crime besides the AMA got into the drug business because, unlike the AMA, the new cartels had no interest in making you obey. They just wanted to sell you their products. The AMA had strings attached. They demanded control over your personal life if you wanted drugs. The developed Western nations are the only nations where you must have a doctor's prescription to buy most effective drugs, including antibiotics. Just across the border south of me here in Mexico, you don't need a prescription to buy antibiotics. You don't need a prescription to buy blood pressure pills, to buy all this stuff that you need prescription for in the United States. You just go to the pharmacy and buy it. I have bought
Go ahead.
I have bought snake venom antibodies at a store in Mexico just over the counter before.
We should also keep in mind that the amount of price hiking multipliers are enormous by the drug companies. Some drugs are manufactured. No. Get this. 50,000%.
Oh, yeah.
50,000% some of them. Yeah, it's huge. You do some research. It's there. It's unbelievable.
I used to buy this medication for $10 for 60 tablets. At the pharmacy. Then they said, oh, well, they ran out of it. Then it came back, and that $10 bottle became $164 a bottle. It boggles the imagination.
They get away with it.
Became more. Yep, they do. The drug cartels became more powerful than most nations, and the drug problem proliferated. Narcotics abuse and death are higher now than ever in history, and it is the direct result of government intervention. Mm-hmm. A great indicator is pricing. In 1982, when I started working with ICE, a kilo of heroin cost $250,000 wholesale. Today, the same kilo costs only $16,000. Does that sound like law enforcement success to you, where the product becomes cheaper, not more expensive?
Yeah.
Many states have legalized marijuana sales, but because of high state taxes, the black market in marijuana still flourishes because it offers the same quality product at a third of the price. The state has merely gotten into the lucrative pusher business itself. By the mid-1960s, mandatory child vaccinations were forced on the population. The CDC suggested a schedule of vaccines that started when a baby was 1 month old, and annual vaccinations were given until the toddler was fully vaccinated. By 1971, the first cases of SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome, were recorded. Okay, there was some that died before that. It's just that they didn't have a name for it yet. Japan noticed the same problem. So they changed the law to state that no child under 24 months old could receive a vaccination. Sudden infant death syndrome disappeared from Japan as a cause of child mortality.
Mm-hmm.
The pharmaceutical companies were making a fortune from child vaccinations in the USA, so the CDC ignored what happened in Japan. They ignore lots of facts. They're in the business of ignoring facts and making stuff up. Money is more important than your child's life. In the USA, to this very day, SIDS is the number one cause of death in children between 1 month and 1 year old. Doctors know this, but will insist you obey their vaccination schedules. So then came the COVID-19 pandemic, where people were scared, then bribed, and finally threatened to get the mandatory vaccination starting in March of 2021. Within a year, a new disease was responsible for a growing number of deaths in adults. And it is called SADS, or Sudden Adult Death Syndrome. Just as they never officially counted SIDS as a vaccine reaction, they will never officially call SADS an adverse reaction to the COVID vaccine, because they want to sell this vaccine. Okay. In both cases, there is too much money to lose by telling the truth. Their money is more important than your life. This was all made possible by the globalist elite and the satanic Zionists, who needed to sacrifice our children's life on the altar of Moloch. Before 2009, the World Health Organization defined as a pandemic as a disease that killed large numbers of people across national boundaries. In 2009, the World Health Organization redefined a pandemic as any disease that spread across national boundaries, even if it did not infect or kill many people at all. That is why COVID was a pandemic, and why monkeypox is a pandemic, although it's not very fatal, but spread by homosexual sex, by homosexuals, to other nations. Pandemic is a scary concept, and the definition was changed because fear is the currency of control. The witch doctor wants to macro-manage your life. Okay?
Yeah,
so the second lie I want to talk about is, well, is there anything you want to say about the first lie?
No, I'm going to go back to the outrageous criminality of these pharmaceutical companies. And if you do look up the cost and inflated price, retail price of any common popular drugs, I think you'll be stunned. Stunned. There's no mercy. There's no oversight. Nobody's forcing these pharmaceuticals to back off from 50,000 times cost down to even 10,000. Nothing. It's big money, and they don't give a damn about us. Not one bit.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I have wondered this my entire life. When I was a little kid, there was a little girl that I knew. She died of leukemia. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first noticed the American Cancer Society, the American Heart and Lung Society, the American this society, that society, for every disease. And they take in billions of dollars for research. So although donors pay for this research, okay, the drug companies get that research for free. They don't pay nothing for it. Then they charge you $150,000 a dose for a cancer drug. And after all these years, this is my whole life, why hasn't this produced any big benefits for people? They've been sucking up money for half a century, and, well, no, more than that, for like over 70, 80 years.
More,
and
yeah, close to a century.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing that it is accomplished.
There's no money to be made. Mitch, the bottom line is simple. You know this. You've heard it 100 times.
Yeah.
The money to be made is not in curing disease. It is treating it. So all they want to do is get you in line. The average cancer patient will generate, I don't know what it is now, $1 million if it's substantial cancer. It's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. So they're all feeding at the trough of human grief and misery and packing their pockets with money. It's incredible. And if you notice the shots that they're giving out, I think they're all free still. You don't have to pay for any of them. We're paying for them.
Well, we pay for the tax money, or they print money to pay for them.
Right.
It's not actually free. The money comes from somewhere. So let me move on to the second big lie. America has the most powerful military on Earth. This law also affects everyone, but applies to nations rather than individuals. Mao Zedong said that it is people, not things, that are decisive in war. Mao won one big war, the Chinese Civil War, and another ended in a tie, the Korean War. Mm-hmm. So I think he knows what he's talking about. General George Patton said, wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won with men. It is the spirit of men that gains the victory. We do not have a single general or admiral in our service now that has ever won a war. As a matter of fact, the dictum that men win wars, not things, was clearly proven in Afghanistan. NATO had all of the advanced technology, advanced intelligence and sensors, precision bombing, and the better weapons, but lost out to impoverished, illiterate, Stone Age Taliban goat farmers. They captured over $80 billion worth of advanced American hardware. Are they using it? No. They're selling it to whoever will buy it. They figured that it did not give the Americans any advantage, so they really are uninterested in keeping it. In the West, we are convinced that the military hardware makes us strong. In the East, they believe that people make them strong. It is the quality and training of the individual soldier that leads to victory, not technology or equipment. Afghanistan proves that again. There is always a quality to quantity. General Nathan Bedford Forrest once said, who gets there the firstest with the mostest wins. In the West, we develop technology and weapon systems and figure any monkey can operate it. People do not matter, and leadership does not matter, just money and things. So let's consider the state of the U.S. military. It is the seventh biggest military in the world, behind Vietnam, North Korea, South Korea, India, China, and Russia. It is the third biggest active duty army in the world after China and India, including, and we're just talking about the army here, and we're not talking about the entire military force, okay? Including army reserves, we have the sixth biggest army behind Vietnam, South Korea, China, Russia, and India. Let's look at the appointed leadership to see how much equity there is. And remember, equity is not equality. Equity is equality of outcomes. Okay. So, so when Biden, who's the preacher of equity, okay, when he appointed his a cabinet, there's 25 people in the cabinet. Okay, eight are Jewish. The Anti-Defamation League defines Jews as people of color and non-white. Okay,
eight.
So there's
eight. 80%.
Yes, eight of them, eight. And that's 36% of the cabinet, representing less than 1% of the U.S. population. Grossly
where's the equity in the cabinet? Where's the equal representation at all levels of government?
That's certainly not there.
No.
But I'm going to get into it further, okay? There are six white people in the cabinet. That's 24% of the cabinet. But 61.6% of the U.S. population is white. So they're grossly underrepresented. One Native American, that's 4% of the cabinet for 3% of the population. One Asian, 4% of the cabinet for 6% of the population. Five blacks, 20% of the cabinet for 12% of the population, overrepresented. Four Hispanics, which is 16% of the cabinet, 23% of the population, so it is underrepresented. One gay, that's 4% of the cabinet. Nine females, which is 36% of the cabinet, but 50.5% of the population is female, so they're underrepresented. 16 males, 64% of the cabinet, 49.5% of the population, so they're grossly overrepresented. So there's no equity even in the cabinet that the Biden regime appointed. Okay, this is clearly a satanic Zionist globalist regime that has the purpose of destroying the United States, its people, and especially its freedom. Tell me why this government does all it can to restrict gun rights when your right to have a firearm is enumerated in the an enumerated right in the Bill of Rights, when the pedophile Marxist Biden regime gets bent out of shape about the loss of a right to murder babies that is not enumerated in the Bill of Rights. It is a delusional inversion of reality and common sense. So the pedophile Marxist Biden regime created a base renaming commission to rename bases that are named after Confederate generals. All Democrats by party affiliation, let me remind you. They were to be renamed with equity in mind, but represent those who, quote, embody the best of the United States Army and America. This is retroactive equity. The recommendations are as follows. So Fort Bragg is to become Fort Liberty. What nonsense. Fort Obedience would be a real and true name. It is home to the 82nd Airborne Division, which was shaped and led into battle by Major General Matthew Ridgway, who also commanded U.S. forces in Korea after MacArthur was relieved of command. Ridgway was a great military leader and created the Airborne Division. The problem is that he is white, so they can't name Fort Bragg Fort Ridgway, which would be very appropriate. Fort Polk to become Fort Johnson after black Private Henry Johnson, a member of the Harlem Hellfighters, who actually fought in the French Army in a French uniform under French command. His medals and decorations were also French. He may have been a good soldier, but his service was not to the USA. Fort A.P. Hill is to become Fort Walker, named after a female Civil War doctor named Mary Edwards Walker, who was given a Medal of Honor for her service on the front lines, but was never a member of the U.S. Army. She was a civilian throughout. So Fort Pickett is to become Fort Barfoot, a Native American who did earn a Medal of Honor and was called the One Man Army. He is a fierce warrior who merits a fort being named after him. But the deciding factor was that he was Native American. Fort Lee in Virginia is to become Fort Gregg Adams, named for two Black Army support officers, one male, one female, who delivered mail to the troops. They were obviously selected for their gender and race. Fort Hood is to become Fort Cavazos, who was the first Hispanic to become a general in the Army in 1979. Without a doubt, he was a fearless warrior that had his troops back. However, he was not the first Hispanic to become a general in the U.S. Army. In 1940, General Terry de la Mesa Allen became the first Hispanic to become a general in the U.S. Army. His grandfather, Colonel Carlos Alvarez de la Mesa, fought with the Union Army as a colonel at Gettysburg. Terry de la Mesa Allen was also the first Roman Catholic to become a general in the U.S. Army. But he had a white dad and was a Christian. No God for the vote. So Fort Gordon is to become Fort Eisenhower. Eisenhower is a war criminal and guilty of genocide for implementing the Morgenthau Plan to deny German soldiers POW status and call them disarmed enemy soldiers and exterminated them. The Morgenthau Plan murdered 30 million Germans. Eisenhower was in charge of implementing it. Also, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime has appropriated money to ameliorate the effects of the racist Eisenhower Defense Highway system, the interstate system, that separated communities of colors. The commission did not do its homework. Fort Rucker is to become Fort Novosel after Chief Warrant Officer Michael Novosel, who got a Medal of Honor while flying over 5,500 wounded soldiers to safety during the Vietnam War. He is a Slavic Croatian, so he is not technically white, since the Russians are deigned semi-Asiatic barbarians. But Novosel probably just considered himself a white guy. Fort Benning is to become Fort Moore after Lieutenant General Hal Moore, who led the fight at Landing Zone X-Ray at the Battle of the Drang in Vietnam. They probably watched the movie with Mel Gibson playing Moore. How could they be so insensitive as to name a fort after him, after Mel Gibson played him? So these people aren't sharp. The people that made up this commission were just woke and didn't know much about military history. The obvious requirement was to find females and people of color to punish Southerners for the racist Democratic Party past. It is the government forcing political correctness and identity politics down our throats. It tells current soldiers what they can accomplish if they are not white. Merit is identity. Truth is make-believe. It costs millions of dollars to rename these bases and change addresses and stationery. No doubt there will be a dishonorable discharge for soldiers who mess up and refer to the fort by its old name. Let me tell you about our military. The February 2018 issue of Military Officer Magazine had a headline, Recruiting Woes. It said that 7 out of 10 young people aren't fit to join the military, hindering the search for eligible new service members. 70% of the 17 to 24-year-olds are ineligible for military service. Nearly a third are overweight. Plus criminal records, incomplete education, and past drug use keep them out. It is so bad now that they are offering $50,000 sign-on bonus for you to go in the military, but have very few takers. Would you take $50,000 to serve 8 years in your state prison system? I can attest that if you are a person of color, LGBT, or female, these standards do not apply to you. The high standards are meant to disqualify white recruits and encourage people of color, LGBT, and feminist troops. It is part of the Great Replacement. Plus, they want soldiers who will be more than happy to open fire on their fellow white Americans. Add to that a very active but silent campaign to encourage white males to not serve in the military because there is no getting ahead on merit. Race, gender, and sexual orientation are the determining factors for promotion. Remember that the pedophile Marxist Biden regime has put equity as the main purpose of our armed forces. So an infantry company must be 50.5% female, 3% Native American, 6% Asian, 12% Black, 23% Hispanic, but no more than 30.8% white male. At least 10% need to be LGBT. This is whether they can do their job or not. The Obama-Biden regime also want to make sure that when white soldiers get out, they cannot own guns. In the March 2018 issue of Disabled American Veterans Magazine was an article called Caught in the Crossfire, Mental Health Concerns, Mass Shootings Thrust Veterans into Nationwide Debate. The gist of the article was that the Obama administration created a policy of freely giving 100% VA disability compensation payments for life to those who admit that they had PTSD so they would be banned from owning any firearms. The government fears the people. What do they want to do to us that they need us disarmed, especially combat vets? President Trump did nothing to change any of these policies. Russia and China do not have to worry about any of this. They just want the best soldiers. In the West, we still train our troops to attack standing and charging into the enemy. I had three sons go through basic combat training between 1999 and 2011. They were not taught to space themselves out when walking in the open, to use cover and concealment or camouflage. They were not even taught how to engage in combat. They are taught to attack standing up, and that's it. In the East, they low crawl to combat to reduce the chances of getting shot. They shoot from the prone position for the same reason. Russian, North Korean, and Chinese soldiers are taught to use maximum cover and concealment, camouflage, and taught how to fight in combat. Their soldiers are very well trained. Our soldiers, I hate to say, are a bunch of sissies, and I mean that literally. Every decent soldier I met was getting out as soon as possible. They knew the game was rigged against them. The U.S. military was once known as the best meritocracy that you could get. Now merit means absolutely nothing. We need high tech because we have low quality soldiers. When I go on military bases, I see lots of fat women, but no fat men allowed. The young enlisted people are social justice warriors. The military obsesses over their feelings, not getting hurt. All our military is good for is attacking Americans. I will never forget the day I was on an Air Force base and saw some F-35s take off, realizing for the first time that they were meant to attack us. We are the enemy of the government. Our government hates the American people. America does not have the best military on Earth. We just have the most expensive military on Earth. Do you think China or Russia is intimidated? Do you think they are intimidated by European armies with all their cucked men? Consider Canada's new military dress code. Men may now have long nails and fingernail polish, face tattoos. They dye their hair any color, and men may wear skirts instead of pants. Justin Trudeau justified it by saying, "The appearance of the Canadian Armed Forces has not kept pace with the Canadian society it serves." Trudeau is an idiot. In the 1990s, the Dutch Army was held up as a gay success that gay people can serve openly. At Srebrenica in Bosnia, the gay Dutch soldiers danced with Serbian soldiers as other Serbs led all of the Muslim men and boys off to be executed. 4,000 of them. Great job, gay soldiers.
Wow.
You
failed
to protect those under your protection and allowed a war crime to occur. China and Russia knows that these are their opponents. Okay, so Dr. Jordan Peterson calls this the, quote, the fragile millennial epidemic that only the West suffers. In the May 2022 issue of the National Review, its headline was The Few, the Proud, the Woke, the Battle for the Military. It speaks of, quote, America's systemically racist, imperialist bully that is a force for evil in the world. Taking its cues from critical race theory, the woke left seeks to transform America and its allegedly racist institutions in the name of diversity, equity, which is equality of outcomes that can only occur with rampant cheating and different standards for all. Inclusion.
Inclusion
is the negation of the freedom of association, or DEI. Minister of Defense Lloyd Austin made DEI the main objective of the American Armed Forces. Winning does not matter. DEI is all that matters. DEI is their God. It will be the God that fails us. These woke values are also instilled in EU armies. How comforting it must be to our enemies that our military feels the same way about America as they do. Just as Stalin purged his army before World War II, we are doing the same before World War III. The same article said it should alarm us that the same military leaders we trust to train our sons and daughters for war are building their DEI agenda upon a foundation of French history and Saudi social science. DEI is driving important policy changes that harms readiness by tying up commanders' units in the military legal system in subjective investigations into alleged thought crimes. End of quote. They are actively purging the military. For example, the military dishonorably discharge everyone, regardless of race or gender, for refusing to take the kill shot. Lloyd Austin says that you are a white supremacist if you refuse the vaccination. A dishonorable discharge means that you have no civil rights. You are barred from buying or possessing a firearm. Disarming white people is at the top of the government's agenda. It will be easier to exterminate white people if they are unarmed. Okay, so...
It'll be a piece of cake. Look what happened in every single country where that has happened.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
It's throughout history. It always goes the same way. So we're creeping closer to a hot world war. The Ukrainians are desperate. They now go to churches on Sunday to round up people to conscript into the army. The UK said it would train 10,000 Ukrainians. Ukrainians living in the UK are being conscripted to fill these training slots. This is Ukrainians that are residents of the United Kingdom. They're being drafted in the United Kingdom to be sent to Ukraine. Okay? Well, what is this? This is, I think this is against international law, you know? The training is only 2 weeks long, but includes social justice warrior training, which is useless for soldiers heading into combat. Ukraine is fighting with NATO nations, complaining about the lack of supplies and equipment that they want to increase their black market portfolios. This is critically important because the Ukrainian elite must prepare for the loss they know is coming. The Ukrainian people are learning to hate life under the authoritarian dictatorship that allows no opposition. They hate that they do not even live in Ukraine, but NATO is permitting them to be drafted anyway. This is unprecedented and illegal. Not only is NATO not unified over the Ukraine war, but the Ukrainians themselves are not unified behind their global homo-satanic Zionist government. I just saw a thing today that said that in the areas that Russia has taken over, Russia said, well, if you want to be a Russian, you don't have to wait 5 years for citizenship. You don't even have to speak Russian. Just if you're in an area that Russia has captured, we'll make you a Russian citizen. Almost 1 million people have taken up on that offer. Okay. And the offer just began a few weeks ago. Okay. So that should tell you something about morale. So in France, the second place winner in France's recent election, Marine Le Pen, blasted the reverse effects of Russian sanctions, saying that EU-NATO sanctions have hurt the French far more than it has hurt the Russians. In the Netherlands, farmers are protesting lack of fertilizer and fuel, both of which came from Russia. Remember that Europeans, unlike Americans, will go out and have massive protests and riots. As winter comes on with a lack of affordable heating, food becomes too expensive and there is no fuel to go to work or simply cost too much. The Europeans will protest massively. My source inside Russia says that the general staff does not think they will need nukes in Ukraine. Russia is making great progress. They're happy with their progress. And because of the rioting in Europe may lead to many failed states, that they do not think they will have to use nukes in Europe. These nations are foolishly destroying themselves. The places that must be nuked, this is according to the Russian General Staff, are the Five Eyes, U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. This is not a maybe, it's for sure. They just want to take their time and feed the West the rope they need to hang themselves. No matter what, the United States must be destroyed. In their view, destroying the Five Eyes means the destruction of over three centuries of Anglo-Saxon bullying and meddling. They need to nuke us to save humanity from the woke Marxists and establish a system of true world peace where every nation is sovereign and nobody plays the sanctions and trade games that we do. Barclays Bank, which is a major British bank, stated, populations suffering from high food prices can be a tinderbox for political instability, exactly Russia's goal in the sanctions war. My Asia source says that China will invade Taiwan in September, so the war will be ongoing when the Party Congress elects a new leader. The nation will rally around Chairman Xi if it is in the midst of reunifying Taiwan with China. It will start with a total blockade of Taiwan by air and sea. The West cannot handle war in the Atlantic and Pacific at the same time. It will render NATO and its Asian allies as combat ineffective. To make sure things work out, dear leader Kim Jong-un will attack South Korea when China attacks Taiwan. They will bombard the Seoul area relentlessly at the outset because half of all South Koreans live around Seoul. China and North Korea together have over 12 million troops under arms. North Korea has the second largest military in the world, and China has the fifth. The USA is the seventh, and Taiwan is the ninth. South Korea is third, but Taiwan, South Korea, and the USA have a total of 11 million troops under arms. That's all over the world. And North Korea and China's 12 million troops are all local. In Europe, Russia will be helped out by Syria attacking Kosovo to take it back. If NATO gets involved, Serbia will take northern Macedonia back, with Greece and Bulgaria standing by to let it happen. Serbia can then take its part of Bosnia and Montenegro back. Okay, you notice that north of Albania is Montenegro, and just so that people know what it means is Albania means white mountains, and Montenegro means black mountains. Okay, that's what the names of those countries mean. Croatia will not resist because they will take the Croatian part of Bosnia back. Hungary will not fight anyone because they have the same static from the EU, and if they fight anybody, it would be Ukraine. If Russia invaded Lithuania over its blockade of Kaliningrad, Germany already said it would pull its troop out of Lithuania and offer them no assistance because under Article 5 of NATO, no one has to assist or defend a NATO nation that starts a war. And the Lithuanian blockade is an act of war. So, and they did it first. Okay, so on to some more recent news the news doesn't really go into the detail on this at all, but I have a Japan expert. My Japan expert explained to me that the assassination of Shinzo Abe was about. The Japanese Defense Force has been chafing under Japan's pacifist constitution and the insurmountable red tape that the Japanese military must suffer under the government. They feel under the current system they could not possibly defend Japan. What you are seeing is what happened in Japan before World War II when they had to assassinate many politicians to get a pro-war diet, which is what they call their Congress. Abe's party did not have enough votes to repeal Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution that holds Japan back militarily. They have lost all faith in the capabilities of the U.S. military and our political leadership. Japanese are mad at both the military constraints that the U.S. has imposed on them and Japan being a puppet state of the U.S., which means Japan always must do what is in the U.S. interest, but not in Japan's interest. Abe's assassination gave the Japanese Congress enough votes to overturn Article 9 of the Constitution. Japan can build a viable nuclear arsenal in less than a year. They know American and Europe will sanction them, but they are in survival mode and want to both make their military stronger and to take constraints off of it. Political assassinations are likely to proliferate as the woke trash is taken out of the government, just like before
trash.
World War II.
The woke garbage. Yes.
Japan does not want to get nuked by China or North Korea, both of whom have promised to nuke them for being a running dog of the U.S. imperialists. It is possible that Japan will declare its neutrality and ask all U.S. forces to leave Japanese territory to avoid this war that they know will exterminate their nation. Then they will become a nuclear and conventional power so they can deter China and North Korea. Is only concerned with Korea, but there are disputed islands between Korea and Japan. China and North Korea may accept Japanese neutrality as an expedient to defeat U.S. and allied forces. Vietnam will stay neutral, and the Philippines will probably declare their neutrality and revoke the defense treaty they have with the USA because they think the U.S. is not militarily or politically able to help them out with anything. America, the empire of lies, is fracturing along so many fault lines that even an intelligent president could not hold them together, let alone the bumbling idiot that we are stuck with. So that's what's going on in Japan. There's many changes happening in many places in the world because they're trying to adapt to, they're trying to prepare for World War III in the broadest sense, because this war will go out all over the world. It will be a world war.
I'm afraid it looks that way, Mitchell.
Russia's being patient.
Yeah.
I mean, why shouldn't Russia be patient? We're throwing all of our weapons into Ukraine. Germany just said, we're not sending you any more weapons because we won't have any if we keep sending them to you. Okay, and everybody knows that those weapons are going on the black market. So, you can look on the dark web and find them. You can go talk to your local MA guys and see if they can hook you up with a javelin rocket, you know. This is, they're feeding the war in the Middle East. They're feeding wars all over the world. Ukraine has been a big weapons smuggling nation for a long time. Let's consider this also, okay? So, you know, North Korea has all these advanced missiles, okay? So North Korea already has a hypersonic missile, okay? The United States does not. We don't have one yet. But North Korea does. Where did North Korea get all of its technology to build ICBMs, medium-range missiles, and short-range missiles? Where did they get that technology from? They got it from the Ukraine. Ukraine is the one who sold them all the
got
parts,
it.
The engines, and helped them put it all together.
Yeah.
Sure what a did. Messed up world we live in.
Oh, Mitchell, it's only going to get worse. How much longer? I mean, if Zelensky says he's got a million-man army ready to pounce and completely liberate the South and Southeast, including, I guess, all the major areas in Donbass that they've lost, including all the South, the whole South of Ukraine. Where are these million people coming from? They have to be Americans and NATO troops. He doesn't have them.
Well, here's another thing is Putin said last Friday, he said that they haven't even gotten busy in Ukraine yet, that they have not started fighting
in
earnest.
They've expended about 15% of their total military capability, that's all.
Yeah. So Ukraine's losses are heavy every day. We're talking 400 to 800 troops a day.
Correct. I also think Putin has, for what it's worth, the majority of the Russian people supporting him if he chooses to use nukes. That's what the polls are allegedly saying.
He does, and part of his thing is if he nukes the United Kingdom and the United States and Canada, okay, because, well, Europe is, you know, they're not united or anything. Once they see what happens to the United Kingdom and the United States, they may decide that, well, Ukraine's not that important after all, you know. And maybe none of them will be in NATO anymore. Maybe they'll just want to have peace and go back to normal things. I mean, this is a war that the United States has talked Europe into, okay? But Europe is led by a bunch of virtue-signaling, woke social justice warriors, just like we are, and they can be shamed into supporting something stupid, which is what they're doing.
Couldn't be said any better. Well done. Another superb overview. We'll see what happens in the next week, Mitch. Thank you. I guess this thing could really fall apart at any time now. We just don't know. A false flag, a NATO false flag nuke attack, and they start screaming in the Western media.
Could be anything. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing is we're not ready for it, but they are.
Oh, no. No.
They're completely ready for it.
Yes, they are.
They're like, yeah, give us your best shot, you know?
It's true.
They're not afraid of us.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, we're a laughingstock to these countries. Okay?
I would expect nothing else, looking at what we are and what we've become. Thank you, Mitchell. Take care. Be safe.
You're welcome. I'll be back with more lies next week, okay?
Okay. All right. Good night. Take care. Mitch Henderson here every week, and there we go. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow and Tuesday. Take good care. Talk soon.